Hello, this is Christabel.
Hello, this is Michael Horst.
I'm Amy Shields.
I'm Mark Frost.
Hi, I'm Kimmy Robertson.
Hey, Ben, this is David Duchovny.
We have a beautiful, beautiful book. Twin Peaks Unwrapped, the book. You can get it at bluerosemag.com. Supplies are limited. Get this bad boy while it's hot. Want to say we're under the 300 mark for these books.
Yes.
And then
yes.
Once they're gone, they are gone.
Our thinking would be that the book would be gone by the end of the year. I mean, I don't even know if it's going to last that long. But the idea was that, hey, this is the 30th anniversary. Like, wouldn't it be cool just to have a book that could be available to really diehard Twin Peaks fans?
We recommend you pick it up at bluerosemag.com.
Thank you for your interest and for your enthusiasm and keeping Twin Peaks alive.
Hi, I'm Sherilyn Fenn, and you're listening to Twin Peaks Unwrapped.
I've got idea made. You take me for a walk under a sycamore tree.
And welcome to Twin Peaks Unwrapped. I'm your host, Ben Durant, and beside me is
Brian Kazaska.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Ben. How are you?
I'm great. I'm excited. I'm pumped. This is going to be a good show.
It's going to be an amazing show.
Amazing show.
I say that every week, but this week I really mean it. All those other weeks, I was lying. This week is going to be an amazing show.
It is. And why is that?
Well, we have a guest, Ben.
A guest. Probably one of the best guests we could get besides Mark Frost, David Lynch, Kyle MacLachlan, Sherilyn Fenn.
Yes.
Wow.
Audrey Horne.
Audrey Horne, a.k.a. Audrey Horne, the wonderful, amazing actress, is going to talk with us today.
We go left, right. We go deep.
We go spiritual. We go into it all.
We go everywhere. It's going to be a crazy ride, and I hope everybody enjoys the ride.
So we're on the phone with Sherilyn Fenn, who played Audrey in Twin Peaks. Hi, Sherilyn.
Hi.
I was blown away about your mom and your aunts. She was in a band called Susie Q. It was Susie in the Pleasure Seekers. And I just want to know what it was like to have a rock and roll mom.
Yeah. Well, you know, to be honest, it wasn't so great because me and my brothers were the kids that were sort of left behind in pursuit of whatever they were in pursuit of. And it was an all-girl band that started initially without my mother because she is the oldest of five children. And it was started with my Aunt Patty and then my Aunt Susie. At a certain point, they just wrangled her into it. And I guess it brought in more money or whatnot. And so then my grandparents were sort of raising us. So,
oh, wow.
As usual, it's not as glamorous as, as it might seem. Yeah.
And your dad was the manager. So they were just kind of off doing the music stuff.
Yeah, they started. He was an engineer initially at General Motors. And then in the evenings, he was managing the band also, obviously, to be around my mother. Yeah.
And recently on Twitter, you were talking about that it was Jessica Lange that at the age of 16 that made you want to be an actress.
Oh, yeah. I saw Frances in New York. It really blew my mind on a number of levels. First of all, just on the scale of what happened to Frances Farmer in her life as a result of being powerful and spirited and direct and a nonconformist, that somebody would actually do that would actually happen to many people. And then there was, you know, the Jessica Lange of it all, which was, I just thought she was so beautiful and so remarkable. And for me, it was as though she was Frances Farmer. And, I was just a young girl from Michigan. And I remember laying in my hotel bed, staring up at the ceiling, thinking about it. And how could a film move me that deeply? And it wasn't then that I thought, I think I'll be an actor, you know what I mean? I was just captivated by it, and a year or so later when it was, you're going to start your senior year in Beverly Hills High, I'll act. I want to act. You know, I think that there is always reasons far greater than what we're aware of.
Mm.
I did not have a plan to act. I didn't, you know, my family would want my grandfather and stuff. Well, you know, do you want to sing or do you want, they were very much like kind of ham bones and they want to be watched all the time. For me, acting became a way of expressing things and exploring things that I didn't understand or needed to learn more about.
Mm. No, Jessica Lange, though, have you seen her recently? Like American Horror Story?
I saw bits and pieces of it. It was a little scary for me.
Yeah, me too.
It just shows the power of Jessica Lange.
She's amazing.
I mean, she won every time she did that show. She makes me want to act. She's just an amazing actress.
She's an amazing lady.
Yeah.
I had never seen Frances, but I watched the trailer and I was like blown away by her performance. Just in that trailer, that the emotion that she went through and fighting against, you know, basically the law and the system. And it really seemed like an amazing performance that she gave.
Yeah, it was remarkable. I think, you know, she was up for Best Actress, and then they gave it to Meryl Streep for Sophie's Choice, but they gave her Best Supporting for Tootsie, and I believe that was their way of saying, okay, two women can't win, so you're getting this one.
Do you remember how you got involved with Twin Peaks?
Yeah, it's kind of a cool story. What was happening in my life, which then relates to what happened on the show, was that I was 24 and had been, you know, had done a few things. I think at that point I'd done Chewing Junction already, and I wasn't very happy. I went to a prominent manager's party, Christmas party, and she spoke to me a day or two later and said that she had been observing me, and she said, don't try to be who, you know, likable or who you think people want you to be. She said, if you're a good actress or an actor, she said, I always tell them, you know, who are you? If you're kind of sarcastic, if you're a smart ass, if you're shy, if you're, you know, whatever you are, you try to stay in that center of yourself and the good directors will want to work with you. David just looks at 8x10s and decides who he wants to bring in. There was no specific role that I was told I was up for. And he had a photograph of me where I had a short platinum blonde pixie. So I went in and I was quiet. He did most of the talking. He asked me more questions, and I answered honestly, what do you think of the script? I said, well, everyone's sleeping with everyone. And you know, what did I know? I was just a kid. And he's like, yeah, they are, you know, it's kind of a soap opera or whatever. And so anyway, I left, and the casting person called my manager and said that I should have been more positive, et cetera, et cetera. And a week later, they called and said that he was writing a role for me.
Wow.
Audrey Horne was not in the script. She wasn't in Northwest Passage until I got to meet him. And then he wrote her in. You know, in the pilot, there was very little to do. If you put all my work together, it was maybe 2 pages. So it was an incredible verification of being one's true self instead of, you know, hi, blah, 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 this kind of nonsense.
Yeah.
So, and then I got the role that written for me that pretty much changed my career and my life, really.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Kind of, yeah.
You know what's interesting, I thought, is that you've done it. Before Twin Peaks, you probably had done about 10 TV shows and about 10 movies, but you saw that for Twin Peaks, you saw that you still needed to get a teacher, Roy London, to work with you. But I thought, to me, you already were a star. You had already done all this work, and you saw you could always make improvements.
Always. I believe until we take our last breath, we grow here. Yeah, it was an amazing gift that I met Roy. I met him after I'd done the pilot.
Mm.
Taught, you know, how to kind of uncover truths within ourselves and what the gift is of acting, and made me fall in love with it again.
Yeah, would you have an example of something that maybe Roy helped you with in Twin Peaks, like a scene that you were working on?
In broad strokes, Roy says stuff like, you know, you have to have a more important reason to be at an audition than to get the job. I'll tell you what we did work on, being sexy, which was very interesting because there's nothing less sexy than somebody trying to be sexy.
Yeah.
And what happened was that Laura Flynn Boyle in particular started to kind of do what she thought I was doing, which was not what I was doing. What Roy showed me was that, okay, so this is, where are you? You are a young woman who is discovering her power, who has a certain amount of innocence, who is incredibly romantic, and wants to fall in love and has daddy issues. I mean, you just use your truth. I mean, your truth is far more interesting than, you know, a lie, or, I mean, you're demonstrating something that's not real. You have to, A, have the courage to really see yourself where you are, and then, B, have the courage to illuminate that sort of human struggle and be filmed while you're doing it. And that's what happened. No one knew. There was no plan. They were just, you know, Dale Cooper ended up at the hotel, so put him with Audrey. We weren't supposed to be together. Yeah. But after we worked together, something was on film that really worked. And instead of having his character go towards Joan Chen, which was their original plan, they had him start to come towards me until his girlfriend, Laura Flynn Boyle. Kibosh is an astonishing thing, and first one that told and wasn't supposed to, but oh well, that's me.
I
was shocked, you know. I remember saying to David, you mean, like, is this how it goes? Like, an actor complains that she's the girlfriend and then you change?
Yeah.
And then she started, like, so smoking in scenes and doing all kinds of strange. I think she danced in a scene. And
God, I love this music. Isn't it too dreamy?
Second episode where I had to dance. Well, that very day, David said, okay, Sherlyn Fenn, Laura, we're rewriting this scene. Get a cappuccino.
Wow.
He rewrites the scene. I'm panicked. Oh, my God. I already worked with Roy. David's rewriting the scene. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
I call Roy. Roy says, Sherlyn, David, don't worry about it. Just do what he says. I'm like, oh, okay.
And funny, that's like one of the most memorable scenes is you dancing.
I know. Yeah. And I was frightened. I'm like, what do you mean? I have to dance? I don't want to dance. What am I supposed to do? So we wrote you a song and you're just going to put it on and you just groove. I'm like, oh my God. I didn't do it closely enough. My hands are shaking. I felt silly.
Yeah.
I mean, I did.
It was so good, though.
Like, look at me dance. No, that would have been really ugly.
It's so interesting you say that about dancing, and you go all the way to the end of season two, and you don't even want to be part of the pageant. You're like, you know, I'm going to make a speech. I'm a businesswoman now. And your character evolved in a matter of months, according to the show.
It had to do with me.
From the bottom of my heart, I don't want to be the town bathing beauty.
Roy and I talked about that. He said, if you're going to be in a parade, you might as well lead it. They're trying to do what you're doing, so we're moving in a different direction. Stopped wearing sweaters. I got sporty, like, business little jackets and started just moving in a different direction because they were trying to, you know, it was crazy, you know, and we had lost David the second season. I mean, he wasn't there. David doesn't do things to be weird for the sake of being weird.
Right.
Yeah.
That would, again, be like playing sexy instead of just, you know, you're a person. It's sexy when somebody's authentic and they're just like emotional and trying to find their way. That is where Roy really had a hand, where he said, let's move in this direction. Yeah. You know, she wants to become a special agent. She's going to show him.
Right.
And she's, now that she has this love to fill the hole, that her father never gave her the love, she had purpose. All of a sudden, she had a purpose. And she saw the way she, you know, it was never explored. I wish it had been more, you know, her brother, her little brother Johnny, and the way he was treated and why he was that way. And, mother. I mean, it was a mess.
I'm glad you bring that up because there's a deleted scene where Audrey and Johnny and Dr. Jacoby and the mom are in the room, and Audrey's mom blames Audrey for pushing Johnny, and that's why he is. And Dr. Jacoby says no, but Audrey's already left the room. And I thought, boy, that could have been an interesting storyline to have this dynamic between the mother and Audrey and saying, you know, there's this friction. Were you interested in that kind of a storyline, or what did you think about the dynamics of that?
I think that I love Johnny, and that's the bottom line. And my mom's a fool. That's what I think. I don't care what my mom says.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
I didn't, she's a very nice lady, but it wasn't a click for me. I didn't really, I was like, I don't care what they write. I know that I love this brother of mine and that they don't treat him right and whatever. And
yeah.
They were busy telling other stories.
Yeah. And were there any directions you had wished they had moved Audrey into?
No, I mean, I think the biggest one is the obvious one. I was really upset that they moved me away from Dale Cooper. The funniest thing, which you've probably maybe heard me say before, is that they, now Kyle will admit the truth, then he wouldn't. But at the time, he was saying, no, my character is, she's too young for me. Okay, well, meanwhile, he's with a girlfriend. I'm 24, 25. His girlfriend's 19.
Wow. Right? Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah.
Mason's 17, right? And then they bring in Heather, who is younger than whatever.
Right.
Okay? It's silly.
Guess a simple goodbye was out of the question.
Billy Zane.
Billy Zane.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a very nice person, right. But just, you know, it was just...
It didn't click.
It wasn't right.
Yeah.
Because the other thing came organically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It also seemed like, at least for a few episodes, it seems like they were trying to match up Audrey with Bobby. I mean, there was definitely some...
Yeah, there wasn't a couple where you guys were hanging out a little bit more.
That you like to lick ice cream.
No, they weren't going to do that.
No.
They just didn't know what to do with Bobby, and they wanted him around more, and he's my buddy. I loved working. I love him so much. But no, they weren't going to hook us up at all.
Oh, that's good. Well, that's good to hear that, then. When did you realize that maybe Cooper and Audrey had chemistry?
On-screen chemistry can be very different from off-screen chemistry.
Mm.
Kyle and I were friends. We didn't have what I would call chemistry. But when Special Agent Dale Cooper and Audrey Horne came together, something happened.
Hmm.
Okay? It just did.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, David said, are you in love with, you know, Kyle? I'm like, my God, no. I said, no, not even a little.
Yeah.
You know, and not even, no, at all. I said, but Audrey thinks, you know, he's the bee's knees. What do you want me to say? I don't. Something happened, and it was a great thing, and life goes on.
Yeah. You mentioned clothing earlier. You wore some of your own clothing on the show?
All the time, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
I would have been in really big sweaters, big, huge sweaters like the girls in the first episode.
Yeah.
They had a big one. I'm like, I ran and grabbed my baby pink cashmere antique sweater, which David ruined, by the way. Because when they put me against the wall with the Norwegian, she kept saying, tighter, tighter, tighter. And they like pinned it and wrapped it into a ball behind my back and totally stretched it out. But it was worth it. Yeah, a lot of the sweaters, the lace top sweater. I mean, a bunch of them were mine. I was
just starting to
bring in my own stuff.
I didn't know that you could even do that. I didn't know you could just say, I'm going to bring my own clothing.
You were the best dressed on the show, definitely.
Definitely.
Well, normally you couldn't, but see, Audrey was barely in it. In the pilot, I don't think anybody knew that was going to happen at all.
Mm.
At all. So they're like, oh, we don't care if she wears a pink sweater. You know, it doesn't, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
It just didn't matter. And then all of a sudden, it really mattered.
Yeah.
Thank God.
To me, the star of the show was always Cooper and you, Audrey's character, that you guys were like, to me, the star. I mean, I watched it when I was 15 or 16, and I always thought, these are the stars of the show. And I couldn't wait to see you. And you playing Audrey, you just lit up the room. I mean, it was something about, I think there's still something about you as an actress that you just know how to light up the room. And there's something special about you, I really think.
They asked Roy what makes a star, and he said the extent to which they're willing to reveal their soul.
Hmm.
And that's what I try to do when I work, is open my heart and work on real things and be really present. And the camera is always my friend, because people lie, but cameras won't.
Yeah.
And I always will touch the camera gently, and I'll just like say a little prayer and say, I know if I'm here and I allow myself to just be here, that you'll show my truth. You won't lie. And there's magic. Sometimes things just, you know, happen. I walked out of the screening of the pilot. I'm like, no one's ever going to see it. I mean, I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing.
I think a lot of people
had no idea.
One thing I really admire about you is that you have enough courage to speak your mind. Where do you think that strength comes from, that you're able to, like, just say what's on your mind?
Well, I think that, first of all, being a child and coming from a messed up childhood like many of us do, I was never heard. I think when I got of age, I was going to make sure I was heard. Actually, it was a very transformational moment for that manager to say that to me, and then more, and that, like, give me permission to be me, and then for it to be validated by somebody writing a role that then changed my whole life. I mean, when I was a little kid, I was like that. The anchor is naked. You know, what's that big pink elephant on top of me? I would say it.
Well, I think that's great. I think I know the fans love that. You don't lie to the fans. I think you're very truthful and honest and really speak what's on your mind. And I think that we really love you for that.
Thank you. Well, I also had a shrinkwrench, and he said, you never want to have the fatal flaw of cowardice. And I never forgot that. I don't. A friend of mine was doing too many drugs, and I thought he was going to die. I said, guess what? He's not going to die without me knowing that I've looked him in the eyes and said, you have a really big problem, and I'm afraid you're going to. I'm not going to stand at the funeral and wonder why I didn't say my truth. What's the point of life?
Right. Definitely.
Who wants to wear all these masks all the time?
Oh, yeah. Good for
this
you.
This is part of the problem. This is part of why people are depressed. This is, I mean, I want to live an authentic life, so and I'll fight for it.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Well, you're a good model.
Thank you.
For all of us, I think. There was talk of actually doing a spinoff of Audrey. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, we had dinner with my manager, my longtime manager, and BKL, and his agent, Tony Krantz, at the same place we used to always go Muse, where she would get them to always make him homemade tomato soup. He's so cute. And they said they wanted to do a spinoff where Audrey goes to Hollywood, and it was called Small Helen Drive. And again, me being, you know, young and dumb, and I said, well, do people do that? I mean, what's it about? Is Agent Cooper in it? I don't understand. You know? And that was it. It never ended up happening. Well, it did turn into a movie later, but I wasn't asked to join.
That's
but
too bad.
Like, life went on. Other roles came up, but things were done. So I don't know. I went and did A Mice and Men, so I didn't do Fire Walk With Me.
Right.
Which she was not happy about, but I had signed to do A Mice and Men.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I was already contractually obligated, and frankly, I was gladly obligated to work with those people.
And Malkovich was in that. I mean, that's an amazing experience to be able to work with Malkovich. I mean, can't beat that.
I felt like I was a real actress when I got to the movie. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm a real actress. I'm doing John Steinbeck with John Malkovich and Gary Sinise. I couldn't believe it. It was so exciting.
That's awesome.
David was mad. He was. Oh, it's the first time he yelled at me.
Oh.
Like, you're yelling at me, and they hire. I screen tested for this. Like, I had to work to get this job. What do you know? Yeah, well, we can't replace you in the movie.
And that's a good thing.
Good.
Yeah. But you did.
You can't replace.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
But you did do Wild at Heart in 1990 in between Twin Peaks. What was that experience like working with David Lynch on a movie?
It was great. You know, working with David is, as you might imagine, it's abstract. David lives in a beautiful world that is many, many, many worlds. Cheryl and Fenn, I'm doing this movie, and there's this China doll, and she comes out, and she's all bloody, and it's you. And I'm like, okay, you know, this is how it gets introduced, right?
Yeah.
And so he'd walk up to me, and it's freezing, and more blood, and you take your finger in there. And he'd be like, you know, just when you can't think of something, where's the bobby pin? I can't. It's hard to explain working with him. He just takes you into this other place and looks deep in your eyes. And I trust him completely. I trust him. I remember after my brothers saw some of Twin Peaks, they were like, that's just like you. You're such a brat. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, he saw something in me meeting me for 15 minutes. Like, who does that? He's just a different kind of a person. He's not like everyone else. He's
one of a kind.
Remarkable.
And you had the rare privilege of working with both David Lynch and his daughter, Jennifer Lynch. Working with both of them, what was that like?
Now, mind you, Jennifer, I'd only met her on the set once.
Mm.
My childish attitude was probably that I was jealous that she was David's daughter and I wasn't.
Yeah.
Seriously. You know, I'm like, hi, you know. Silly.
So Jennifer Lynch, I imagine, is less abstract than David Lynch is.
She's not. She's not. She's a woman. She's a woman. Jennifer is one of the most brilliant people that I know in my life. I trust her probably more than David because of the woman thing. You know, she's a sister. She's a fellow mother. You know, I'd heard all the controversy around the script, and you know, at first I wasn't interested, and my manager said, just read it. And I couldn't put it down. Mm. And then I kind of threw it across the room when I was finished, and I was angry, upset, and knew I had to do it.
Boxing was, Helena, which is next year will be the 25th anniversary of Boxing Helena, which is really something.
Very cool.
Yeah.
How strange.
And it is a difficult film for some people that, you know, you basically have this, I mean, Brian hasn't seen it yet. So
no.
You have a woman who is basically put in a box by
I
a
know
man.
That, yeah,
you know
yeah,
the concept
the premise,
of it.
Yeah.
Sometimes the film seems, is it sexist? Is it really, what is the statement? But you're a very strong character that you play. And I think she really does handle herself very well in the movie. How was your feelings about portraying this character?
I would do it again in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. I would do the experience a million times over. I love Jennifer. I love the film. The experience of doing it. I don't really watch a lot of my own work. I saw bits and pieces of it. First of all, Jennifer wrote that when she was 19. This is showing the emotional scars that we inflict on each other, only she puts them on the outside and lets you see them that way. Helena is very damaged and clearly very hurt, because that pain is always covered with an anger and I'm going to take care of myself. Which I think that's actually one of her lines. I'm going to take care of myself. You're not going to take care of me. No one ever has. No one ever will. Metaphorically, the idea of, yes, having a woman in a box. My career is in a box. Any minority can say what box they're in. And the attack that went on her because the other two women backed out or chickened out was ridiculous. It's subjective. I give her so much credit, and it really does show the brilliance, again, to be 19, to have written that and had that understanding. She said, you know, it's like having a baby that's not born yet and everyone's saying it's retarded. And I think that if the film was maybe seen now, possibly it would be embraced more just because it's a different time.
True.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
It's like the movie Baby Doll, which is a fantastic movie, but it got Carol Baker blacklisted for the rest of her career.
Yeah.
Because she was a 19-year-old sleeping in a crib.
Wow.
In the 50s, and nobody knew what to do with it, you know. And
right.
She's amazing. It's Tennessee Williams, you know.
Yeah, people
are afraid of what they can't understand.
Totally. And good for you that you had the courage to not ignore so many people who are saying, oh, this isn't a good movie, we can't do it. Good for you for saying, hey, I'm looking at this script, and it is a good movie, and I'm going to do it. And how did you find out about it? Did you find out about it through David, or did Jen approach you, or how did this come about?
No, they went to my manager. And said, will Sherilyn read this? I hadn't met Jen yet, or I had met her, again, just briefly on the set. And so we went and had coffee, and we met with Ed Harris, who was already set to do it. But he said, I have to pull out, because if I'm in it, then it becomes really about an older man who's obsessed with a younger woman. And that's not what this story should be.
Right. And do you feel like that's true? Do you feel like that's what would have happened if he had taken part
in
it?
No, I wanted Ed Harris to have done it.
Right. I mean, he would have been great. He would have been something else to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad. So moving on to Psych.
Yes.
I mean, like, it was kind of like a reunion of Twin Peaks
it was awesome.
Family.
Yeah, it was really cool.
James loved the show so much that he wanted to do that. I think he was very much behind that. Yeah, that was just a really fun thing. They called and, you know, this offer, and I was all, you know, snotty. No way, I'm not doing it. And then they said, yeah, but so-and-so's doing it, and so-and-so's doing it. Oh, okay, I'll do it. As long as everyone else is doing it, I'll do it.
That's awesome.
That's so
we had a great time.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. It was a great episode. Like, I watched the episode after finishing Twin Peaks, and even someone who just watched Twin Peaks, I was so like, this is so cool to see all these characters on this one show and playing these kind of different variations of
like
a character.
Homage to Twin Peaks, something else.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. People liked it. Maybe it was a little bit, although they didn't know that they were prophesizing that we were going to come back.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Twin Peaks is coming back, and at the time, it was maybe a few years ago now, but David Lynch was getting out, and actually you guys made a video of basically to save, you know, to bring Lynch back and stuff. And I love that you were there with your son in the video, and I thought it was a really nice piece that you guys all did.
I thought Twin Peaks would come back and I would live happily ever after. I was so happy. And then he called on Eastern and said, I'm out. And I said, what do you mean you're out? If you're out, I'm out. I'm not doing it without you. Yeah. And then I called the other cast members, and Machen is a computer whiz. And so we had this idea and we got everybody on board. And my understanding is that he had agreed to do 9. I think it was 9. And then once he got into the world, he felt like 9 wasn't enough and he wanted to do twice as many. And that meant twice as much money. And they said no. And he said he's out. And then there was even talk that like Mark and Kyle were still going to do it. And that's when we got together. I said, I'm not doing it. Are you? You know, I'm literally not doing it. If David isn't doing it, it's ridiculous. I love Mark. I love Kyle. But sorry, you can't lose the key component.
Right.
I saw how the second season went.
Yeah, you've lived it.
Twin Peaks without David Lynch. It's like eyes without brows.
I think a lot of the fans think you're filled with secrets. Yeah, I always feel like we're always thinking like Shirlen Fenn has something. She knows stuff. Maybe because I think you were the first one to mention that there was 18. There possibly be 18 episodes and stuff. So I think we're always excited when you're sharing stuff with
us.
Yes, I know. You guys like it. Sometimes
we love it. We love it.
David will say, Shirlen Fenn, stop tweeting.
Yes.
When we were on the set, I took one picture of me literally in my trailer. And then by the time I got to the set, I was called directly.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Shirlen Fenn, you can't tweet pictures. I'm like, good God, why can't I tweet a picture of? So I waited until we were finished and then I tweeted it.
Nice.
I mean, I'm not giving away any secrets. No. Yeah. Because it's not like I'm saying this happens or that happens.
Right, you're not giving away plot details.
I mean, can you answer, do you tie another knot with a cherry stem in your mouth this in season 3?
You're so bad.
Sign here. Welcome to One-Eyed Jack's, Hester.
You've got a new book out. It's a children's book called No Man's Land. Can you share a little bit about this book?
First of all, my true love is children and working with them and being around them because they're completely authentic and free and so beautiful. I love them. And my youngest son is mildly on the autism spectrum, and I used to joke with him because he would say no to everything, even if he meant yes. So this little book just, you know, was inspired, and you know, it was amazing how it all came together. I'm so grateful it's finally out. Looking for a bigger home in terms of publishing because where I am, we're not doing a book tour or anything, and I think I've exhausted my grassroots abilities. I've done as much as I can possibly do. For me, it has a very important message, and actually the publisher said the same, and they said that, you know, this is a good message for all people, for grown-ups, for children, for, you know, spectrum or not. And he said that's why they wanted to publish it, that it wasn't just, like, time for a celebrity to write a book. And I think that, you know, basically we shut down and get into a contracted state of no out of fear, you know, out of sadness, out of whatever it is. And when that happens, it does get pretty dark. I remind myself, you know, and yes is very extreme, but maybe leaves the door open, but maybe it's okay if it doesn't look the way I think it should. And maybe, you know, it's okay that Kyle, you know, ended up in Heather Brand as his girlfriend. And maybe it's okay that my son's father and I, you know what I mean? I wouldn't want to put, especially now, put things into the world that didn't have something in them. Now, through my career, I've had to do things that I didn't necessarily like because I needed to support myself and have supported myself by myself most of my life. I don't have, you know, parents who have money or any of that. But more often than not, even if, you know, no one else cared, I was, you know, slugging it out, doing the best I could. Then there's you where you're not, and it just is what it is. And that's okay, too. You know, everything can't be, every organ in our body is a vital organ. There's some fat cells,
So there's some fat pals in my career. And that's okay. I also found this wonderful woman who made these little dolls of the hero character. And, you know, my son is quite happy and proud that he is the star of a book.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I saw the KTLA-5 interview that you had, and your son was on the show with you, and I thought he was the star of that segment. Like, I mean, he had the mic.
Wasn't
and
he great?
He was something. He was like, I mean, he was like hammed it up, but he was so much fun. He was such a nice kid.
He's a little ham bone. Yeah. He loves to be up there. I'm like, I was more nervous than he was. He's like, yeah, let's do it.
Right. I'm a parent of, I have a one-year-old, a four-year-old, and a nine-year-old. And as a parent, I'm like, I'm sure I feel like, okay, stay calm, kids, stay calm. But you know, looking outside, I can say, oh, he's expressing himself, and he's happy. And he's happy to be in that studio and being on TV and stuff. And I thought that was wonderful. It was great to see him there and enjoying himself. And
Yeah, he's the best.
And it's something to have him be the main character of this book. He must feel so proud to be a part of this, and that his own mom is really expressing this to the world. I think it's a wonderful thing you're doing.
Oh, yeah, and we still work on it. We're still like, are you in no man's land? Yeah. I'm not in no man's land. It's like, and he had the things to do with, like, a kindergarten class doesn't look like that. There shouldn't be a treehouse. It should be, you know, a castle in the classroom. I mean, and now he's already, you know, talking to me about the next one.
Wow. There's going to be a sequel?
Yeah.
It's a sequel.
Season two.
No Man's Two.
I don't know if it'll be called that, but like we talked about, you know, this time, because we went back and forth. The little boy who lived in the land of no, can it be a boy named Christian? Well, it was very dramatic for him. It took a long time, and he decided it absolutely cannot be his name.
Wow. Okay? Yeah.
And now we're talking about, because he says there's voices. One is like almost like angel on one shoulder, devil on the other. So he's like, so it will be like this. Once Christian left the land of no, you know, and then he's just
going
up.
I love it.
You know what I do? I listen. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's like the best, sometimes it's the best parenting is just listening. Yeah.
Our job is to keep them safe, but they pretty much are our teachers if we're wise enough to see that. Otherwise, just take all of our unresolved issues and messed up patterns and pass them down.
True.
This is never a good thing.
True. So if people wanted to get your book and maybe get the new doll, where would they go about finding this?
I have them on eBay.
Cool. So I search eBay for No Man's Land?
But if you go to, eBay under, I think it goes eBay if you go to children's books.
Mm-hmm.
Because come to find out, if you just put in No Man's Land, there's lots of things called No Man's Land. If you go to eBay, children's books, No Man's Land by me, then it comes up and I'm selling it. The dolls are handmade by this wonderful artist, so it takes just a few weeks for her to, you know, she's making them. She's also making Audrey dolls. That's how I found her.
That's awesome.
Nice.
I know this fan sent me this picture of the coolest little stand-up Audrey doll, and then I got a hold of her, and then I thought, I should do No Man's Land dolls. So now she's doing everything. She's wonderful.
That is awesome.
I was thinking of having the hair so that if you put it down on one side, then he's happy. And if you put it down on the other side, he's in no man's land. Like he wanted them to have the expression of only being in maybe instead of no man's land, because no man's land is an unhappy place to be.
What a smart kid, right?
Yeah.
Really smart kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had heard that you were talking about working on your memoirs. How is that coming along?
It's coming along in bits and pieces.
Yeah.
I do a blog occasionally, not as much as I want to, called Postcards from the Ledge. And that's based on when I kind of crawled out on a ledge making Boxing Helena because I was crazy back then, trying to get my cat about 22 stories up in a Nico hotel. Unbelievable. Like a ledge.
Wow.
And there I am crawling across to get my Persian death kitten off the ledge. And my friends behind me holding my leg, screaming and crying. It was the dumbest thing I've ever done. Anyway, but I got the cat and it all turned out okay. I think I was being protected. You know, when I do that, it's not going to be traditional. I just recently read Bryan Cranston and I love him so much.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Breaking Bad. It was probably my favorite show. But Yeah, it was so dry. It was this. And so I really want mine to be a compilation of some poetry, different things.
That'd be awesome.
Lots of pictures. I don't want it to be, I was born February 1st, 1965.
Yeah.
Detroit, Michigan. It's so boring.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna figure that out. And I'll be 52 on the 1st. So, you know, I have a little time. I don't have to rush.
Happy early birthday.
Yes.
Thank you. I'll share experiences like Prince was one of the first people, oddly, that I met when I moved to Los Angeles.
Wow.
I was about 18 and stayed friends with him for many years. He's a huge influence on my life and showed me a work ethic and really talked about God a lot and of course kind of in love with him who wasn't, but our relationship wasn't that way. He saw me as somebody that he needed to protect. It was very, very interesting.
Huh.
Wow.
And
that's wonderful that he was there.
Share some of my stories about, you know, spending time with him, visiting him in Minneapolis, and all kinds of fun things. He's such a special soul. I miss his physical presence, but he's more powerful than ever he is now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, we all know last year was just a horrible year for celebrities passing away.
Just people in general, right?
People in general, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I did see some of your tweets. Did you post something about Johnny Depp as well?
Yeah, I put tweets up about Johnny, too. Johnny was my first love.
Really?
Johnny and I met... Yeah, I was 19, he was 21, and we were both just getting started in the business and had the same agents, but we met because we both got cast on an AFI film that we did together with Max Perlick, and that's where we fell in love and were together about 3.5 years.
Wow.
So always be my first real love.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, Johnny Depp, he always comes across like a really cool guy. And I love what he does for kids. Like, he'll go to the children's hospitals dressed as Captain Jack.
Wow.
And you should see, you see videos of that. And those kids, man, whew, their eyes are as big as moons. And the guy just always, to me, I've always been a big Johnny Depp fan. He's just like an awesome person. Like, he's always come off as a very humble
awesome
person. Yeah.
He's got a heart of gold. He's a very, very good kind person.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like anybody, I think that he's going through a hard time right now. So my prayers are always with him. And it's hard to live your life the way that he has had to. I used to think a long time ago, actually, but that I wish for more success and more fame. But I really am so glad for what I have because I just wouldn't want to be under scrutiny that way and think I had to. It really would. It just feels so invasive that you might inadvertently start to wear masks that you don't really want to just because you feel like you're constantly under a microscope.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Definitely.
So I feel bad for him for that, but you know, he's good. He's got two beautiful children and that nothing can touch that.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
And in regards to you, I really respect you that you've been able to do things your way. It seems like a lot of the times you've gone in and, you know, you haven't done everything where, you know, I think you've said in interviews, oh, they want you to go to parties and they want you to do this and that. And you kind of said, no, I'm going to do it my own way. And I have such respect for you that you've done that.
Well, I just didn't like parties. It's like, you know, somebody's going to tell me it gets me a job. At first, I believed them, you know, maybe the first couple of years when I was young. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. The party doesn't get me a job.
Right.
It doesn't get me the job I want. You go in, you read, you show them your work. You know what I mean? It's not, here I am at a party, you know.
Right.
It's so silly.
It is.
Yeah, definitely.
So is there anything you want to share with us? What are you working on?
I just did a show called Confess. It's Alyssa Down. It's directed it. It's based on a book. And also, I've been hand painting these really fun Twin Peaks high school t-shirts.
I'm
selling them on eBay as well.
We'll link to that
because
as well. Yeah.
The sister's got to make a living, you know, when she's not working.
I was impressed by that.
It just started out, honestly, as fun. I got a bunch of them. They sold me about 10 of them, and I was painting them for my friends and family. Just a few people that were like, oh, I want one.
Yeah.
You know, and then I had leftover. And so I put like 3 or 4 up, and they're like, gone.
Yep.
And I was like, hey, we got something here. I like it. It's like beginning, middle, end. And I put on the cherries and the canes and on it.
I love it.
So I've been doing that.
It feels really authentic. It feels like a high school shirt. Thing.
Yeah, I saw it on Twitter.
It's the Twin Peaks high school. Like,
Yes.
Summer and gym, and then Yeah, that's awesome.
That is so cool.
I bet you anything, you start up an Etsy store, you'll probably do better than eBay.
Yeah.
Because people will know it's you.
And eBay's difficult. Oh, I don't mind if they do know it's me. I don't care. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, hi, it's me. They'll write on eBay and I'll go, well, do you like this? And they'll be like, is this you? And I said, yeah. And they're like, oh my God.
That was me. Will
you ask Sherilyn? I'm like, well, it's me. Sherilyn?
I think that
so
was me.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, an interesting thing happened was that by starting to do signings a few years ago.
Yeah.
I look at myself and my work differently because some people are like really emotional and like they'll cry and then I'll cry and then we're all crying and I'm like, oh my God. And like, oh, people like said, was this happening or did this mean this? Well, half the time they show me things that I didn't know that something meant in Twin Peaks, but sometimes they like just really get you as a person. And that's why I do what I do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, when you touch them and then you deal with real people that are fans, you know, you think you're in a business with creative people. No, it's mostly business. You know,
yeah.
You know, sometimes you're like, hello, I can dye my hair. Oh my gosh. Like, the other thing I was going to do was I started getting a bunch of little antique sweaters that I like. And I was thinking of maybe like doing different buttons on them or little decorations
cool.
on
yeah.
them. And when I do it in the same way that I do my work as an actor, like I made a shirt for my friend who's not well. And each dot that I did, I was like, love, healing, blessing. And sincerely, because I think it's powerful. I think prayer is very powerful. And
it definitely is.
It's not, I'm not bowing to the altar of money. I don't even own a car right now. You know, it's like, I went through the hardest couple of years of my life, but I've never been better, ever.
Good for you.
And we got to be careful in this world because it can be a pretty dark place.
Yeah.
It can. Yeah. I feel the same way. I'm very spiritual, very much with God, and I don't think I would get through my life without him.
Absolutely. 100%. It says God over my fireplace. And, you know,
that's awesome.
I recently found a non-denominational church called One Church LA, which has completely changed my life. It's really mind-blowing. I tweeted the other day, if you think that all I have important to say is how to tie a cherry stem, you're missing the point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and without knowing that this was, you know, a doctrine before my work, I would always say this is from him, through him, and for him. Always. I always do that. This from him, through. Let me open my heart, especially in these times. We need to have something to believe in. I posted something on my Twitter the other day that Russell Brand, who's probably the only man that I would marry because I'm not really interested. I'm kidding. But no, he's so brilliant. What he speaks to about having something to believe in these times, and he does it with a great sense of humor. He's a brilliant man. He's a brilliant. Brilliant man. It's called like the Unnews or the show.
Yeah.
He just did one about, and he talked about C. Lewis's book and talked about having a God to believe in and talked about how all of the top 10 movies, most of the top 10 movies internationally are fantasy movies. And he broke down why. And, you know, seriously, God has gotten the worst identity theft, you know, God and Jesus and, you know, what I found in my life has changed my life so drastically. And what's astonishing also is to see how many people are afraid of it or judge it or turn away because of it. And I'm like, bye. because I've been a seeker my entire life, you know, Krishnamurti, Course in Miracles, you know, Paramahansa Yogananda, a philosophy school, the Fourth Way School. I've been seeking my whole life, and it came all the way back to the most simple thing, finding a place that is not attached to organized religion, that is based on a God that scares you and hurts you. And that's not what I've had my direct experience with. So that's a whole other conversation.
Well, it's a good conversation.
People probably don't want to hear Audrey talk about God, but
Maybe they need to.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this has been enlightening. I think it's been really good.
I mean, in the Bible, they talk about when two or more are together, here I am in some way. So it's kind of cool in a way that we had a moment here to talk about God.
That is very, very awesome. It's truly the most important thing.
Totally.
When you fill that faith, you think it's a man, you think it's a woman, you think it's a job, you think it's a this, a that, and then it still doesn't get filled. There's a space inside all of our hearts that can only be filled by God.
Right. Totally.
And when that happens, your whole life changes. I used to talk about stepping into the tear in the fabric, but now, in the past few months, now I live in the tear, and it's astonishing. I make a prophecy. This year is going to explode for me. It's going to be amazing, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what the purpose is. And I have a feeling it's related to children. I don't think necessarily that it's about acting. Not that I don't want to act, because I enjoy telling stories, but, you know, I've been doing it a long time.
I think it's going to be a good year.
2017.
Before we let you go.
It's going to be a great year.
Before we let you go, I feel like at least to say, like, how do you think the fans are going to react to Twin Peaks 2017 without spoiling anything?
No spoilers.
What is your gut feeling about the
in a couple words?
Yeah, without spoils, without getting you in trouble.
What I like, the world doesn't. You know what I mean? I don't really know. And also, David didn't, like, hand out scripts to all of us.
Wow.
So I know what I do in it.
Yeah.
And that's all I know.
Right.
You
know? Yeah. I personally feel, though I kind of feel my way through life, what David ended up writing for me was amazing. It was wonderful.
I was so
excited and challenged and nervous and thrilled. And that's, you know, and we had a great time doing it. And we just, you know, it was a bumpy ride getting there. But once we got there, we just hugged. And he's like, it's great. Be happy, you know.
Yeah.
And he said that he loved doing it so much. He said if people like the show, that he would do more.
Now,
David can change his mind, as we know, you know.
Yeah.
But he said the hardest part is writing it. It's just really buckling down and getting it written. He said, but, you know, Sherilyn, you know, he's like, you never know. And that's the truth.
Yep.
Right. You don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
You have no, it's a throw of a dice. They could love it. They could hate it. But he loved doing it so much. He said, if they love it, I would do more.
That's awesome. And it's funny. In a way, it feels like you've gone full circle. Like when you first went into the character of Audrey, there was like this nerves and uncertainty and trying to feel it out. And here you are 25 some odd years later. It almost seems like that's going through that again, which is exciting. It's so exciting.
Yeah, in a different way, though. I'll tell you, though, because the difference is that I feel like each of my steps are ordered now. I feel like I've never been stronger or wiser or feeling better on every level.
Wow.
I feel like whatever's going to happen, it's just, I'm covered.
Yeah.
I'm covered. We all are if we choose to not.
Mm.
But it's so exciting, but it's also a little overwhelming. Sometimes I'm like, yo, the plate is full, okay? You know, because there's a lot going on all at once, and there's blessings and there's burdens in the blessings. So there's just a lot going on, but ultimately, it's so beautiful. It's so, you know, it's like looking at nature, the infinite amount of colors of green there are. I'm not afraid anymore.
Awesome.
I'm not a child anymore.
Yeah.
So I can go even deeper than I did before, and I know I'm covered. I'm good. And I'm a veteran actress. I walk on a set, I feel like I'm at home.
That's
awesome. You
know
what I mean?
Yeah, that's so cool.
And
I'm so happy that you're at that place.
That's new for me.
Yeah. Thank you to Sherilyn Fenn for coming on the show. That was a really special treat, huh, Brian?
Sure was.
If you're listening to the show when it first came out here today, it's actual Sherilyn Fenn's birthday. Happy birthday, Sherilyn Fenn. And she has a new website that she just launched, SherilynFenn.love. And there you can check that out. And she has her shirt and she has her book. And I think she has the doll there that you can, if you want to buy that, you can go to SherilynFenn.love.
And go on Twitter and wish her happy birthday. I'm exhausted from the interview. I know you got to be on cloud nine.
I am.
This is like a childhood, like,
fantasy, maybe. If 15-year-old me knew that I got to speak to Sherilyn Fenn, I think he would lose his mind.
Yeah.
It was very special. It was something else. I mean, she's a wonderful person, And I'm so happy that we got to talk to her, and we learned a lot. I think it was
a ton. I think it was great. I love it.
How can we top that?
I don't think you can.
Right. I'm so looking forward to actually seeing her in the new Twin Peaks. And
So please go on iTunes, give us that wonderful 5-star review if you like today's interview, and that will allow us to continue and grow, and people will find us on iTunes. Give us a nice little glowing comment, if you will. You can email us at twinpeaksunwrapped@gmail.com.
You can find us on Twitter at twinpeaksunwrap.
Yes, Twitter, my new favorite place.
You're on there. Do you want to share what your Twitter account is?
I'm actually on Twitter now. It's Damn Fine Java.
Damn Fine Java.
You know why? Because Damn Fine Coffee was taken.
Java's cool.
Yeah. So I went to the next best thing. But I love Twitter.
And I think you're more active than I am. I mean, like, you've been very much socializing and talking about TV shows.
Yes.
And you're really engaged. And I'm glad that you've you're doing this.
Yeah, it's fun. I'm kind of moved away from Facebook a little bit. I mean, I'm still on there, but it's still a good place and all.
Right.
But Twitter, I like to engage and talk to people. And I feel like you do more of that on Twitter. Where Facebook, it's just you post something and that's it. And
right.
you just see what happens. Where Twitter, you can do that, but you can also engage with others and they can engage with you. And
totally.
It's a community. And speaking of communities, Twin Peaks Unwrapped, join us there or on Facebook.
Mm.
Our likes are going up higher and higher.
It's awesome.
I would like to hit 400 at least before season 3 starts. And Reddit, Twin Peaks on Reddit. Great community there. People have been very supportive.
Mm.
When I post questions and I post our show, we get a lot of great feedback.
Awesome. So. And you already mentioned iTunes, but it's so important that we get those 5 stars and the reviews. It's so that more people can see and find out about our podcast. And that means so much. If you enjoy this show, if you enjoy the other shows, please go to iTunes and write a review. Give us those 5 stars.
Yeah. And I think us or any of the other great Twin Peaks podcasts, if we can get one of us in that top 50 before season 3, how cool would that be? Because when a show comes out, I always look in the top 50, and it does reflect the current pop culture, what's going on. How cool would it be? Season 3 hits, and we just got Twin Peaks podcast in the top 50.
That'd be awesome. And if it's not our podcast, other podcasts that you would recommend that are Twin Peaks, what would they be?
The Diane Podcast.
Diane Podcast.
Red Room.
Red Room, Dear Meadows Radio.
Yep. And our new one on the block.
Yeah, the new kids there.
Counter Esperanto. And they're fans of the show. We're fans of their show. Definitely support those guys.
Yeah. We got Brad Dukes. Dukes show. He's awesome.
Sparkwood in 21.
Oh, yeah.
And countless others that I am missing. But if we can get any of us in that top 50, mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, I think so.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. I feel it. 2017, year of Twin Peaks.
The year of Twin Peaks.
How exciting is
that? Well, Brian, I think that's our show.
Yeah, and what a show it was.
Yes. I think I'm going to take a nap.